I do always feel at home here, and I thank you for making me feel that way. Thank you for inviting me to speak today. And I've been thankful every day for 33 years now that I belong to a church that has faithfully encouraged and prayed for me. You have individually and as a church supported me financially, and I am very blessed to be a part of this fellowship of believers. I know, and I say this every time I come, but I know that I could not do the work that God called me to do in Thailand without you doing the work that God's called you to do here. He's called all of us to show God's love to his people, to pray and support ministry both here and around the world, and you have been faithful and very generous, and I thank you. I have brought Salo again with me. She came 2 years ago. She's not going to speak today, but she asked me to tell you that, well, let me tell you about her first. Some of you met her when she was here 2 years ago. For those of you who do not know her, Salo is from the Karen ethnic group, and she's a nurse with a master's degree in public health. I have worked with her for 16 years now. She is a skilled and compassionate young woman and an example to me for how caring for marginalized people can bring those who are often ignored by others to a knowledge of how much God loves them. I am very pleased that God has called her into ministry among her own people. She has developed and manages our ministry for people with disabilities. And she wanted me to tell you that they're celebrating in February 16 years of ministry. They want to celebrate and be thankful to God. And you're all welcome to come if you can make it to Thailand. February 24th. Yes. Thank you. Our ministry to people with disabilities, it presently serves 120 clients in 85 different mountain villages. We have seen a change in attitude towards children with disabilities, which has resulted in more children receiving an education, getting vocational training, and being included in family and community activities. I'd like to tell you a little bit about Anne today, and she's on the front of your bulletin with Salo and I. She's the girl in the wheelchair. She was born prematurely to a mother only 17 years of age. She weighed a little over 3 pounds when she was born. When we first met her, she was living with her grandmother and was hidden away. Often they hide away people with disabilities because they think it's a curse. When she heard that the other children go to school every day, she would cry because she wanted to go to school and wanted to have friends. The staff began to visit her from our project and to bring her outside on the porch so that she could meet the other children. She began to smile instead of cry. She started coming to our center, and the staff discovered that she was very bright. She began to study with the other students. She also received physical therapy every day so that she became stronger. The project provided a wheelchair for Anne, and her grandmother began taking her to school. She was integrated into a regular classroom and loved going to school and learning. Her biggest dream was to be able to graduate and work so that she could help provide for her family. Anne has now graduated from a vocational school where she majored in business computer. She works at our center and makes a small income to help with her family's expenses. She also helps with the medical costs for her younger sister, who is also disabled. I also oversee a daycare center that serves children from 5 urban slums as a means of preventing them from being used as beggars to help make an income for their families, and also to prepare them to enter the Thai school system. We have worked with over 300 children, and 92% of them remain in school and off the streets after leaving our center. Some of them have entered university. Tira was a child in our very first class when our daycare center opened. He came not understanding any Thai. His father was in jail, and his mother had difficulty earning enough money for the family to survive. Our teachers helped by providing food, supplies, and a scholarship, and Tirao worked hard to be a good student. He studied at our center for 3 years before entering first grade in the Thai public school system, where he excelled. After graduation, he earned a place in college to study engineering in Bangkok. The center's teachers continue to follow his progress. He has a strong faith in God and has been back to give his testimony for our children living at the House of Love. The House of Love serves children who are affected and infected by HIV/AIDS and those removed from their homes because of abuse. Some of these children were conceived in brothels and have no other family. We provide a home for these children, and some who came to us as small children have now graduated from college. Matthew 9:35-38 says that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field." Have you ever thought about the number of times that the Bible says that Jesus saw? He saw the crowds, he saw the leopard and the blind man, he saw those who were outcast, he saw the children. He sees even when he is very busy and involved in ministry. When several thousand people are crowding around him, he sees. When he is weary, he sees others. Jesus sees. But the story never stops with Jesus seeing. Jesus is always filled with compassion by what he sees, and that compassion compels him to act. Sometimes he acts by healing the ill. Sometimes he acts by feeding the crowd. Sometimes he acts by forgiving sins. And sometimes he acts by sending his people, that is you and me, to go out and see with his eyes. When we see with the eyes of Jesus, we see people as Jesus does, people who have great value and worth as individuals, created by God for a purpose. When we see with the eyes of Jesus, we begin to feel his compassion, and we are compelled to act in a way that will make God's love visible and available to others. And the result is that people who are seen by God can begin to see and know God in return. We are to be God's presence, but Jesus says the fields are plentiful and the workers are few. Remember Hagar, Sarah's slave? In Genesis 16, she encounters God. She is alone and pregnant and afraid, and she gives this name to God. She says, "You are the God who sees me." Knowing that God had seen her and had talked to her allowed Hagar to also say, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That should be the result of being seen by God, people coming to know God because they have been in his presence and have seen his love at work in their lives. We are to be God's presence. But again, Jesus says the fields are plentiful, but the workers are few. I have been in Thailand 33 years now. We've told you that already. And my experience has not all been easy. My experiences have taught me that Jesus sends us out to see and to minister to those who live in a troubled world. But these same experiences have also taught me that Jesus does not send us out alone. Jesus is a God who sees and who acts in the midst of these troubles we face. Christ stands with us. Christ makes his presence known in very personal ways. I believe that children have a special place in the heart of Jesus, and yet children, in fact, an estimated 300 million children worldwide are subjected to violence, exploitation, and abuse. This comes in all forms and includes trafficking, labor exploitation, domestic servitude, physical and emotional abuse, sexual exploitation and pornography, denial of basic human rights, and neglect. Many of these children know that they are unwanted and unloved. These children are at risk of becoming invisible and forgotten, at risk of doubting the very existence of God. If a child has never known love, never known a parent's concern or care, how can we tell them about a God of love? Why would they believe us? I believe that Christ has seen the tears of the children and have heard their cries. No one is ever invisible to Christ. No one is ever forgotten by Christ, not even the smallest child. Christ can heal and redeem their deepest pain, but Christ often chooses to bring about that healing by allowing his love to be experienced through ordinary people, people like you and people like me, I am reminded of these things as I remember my story. Mai was born into a knockoff family, one of nine children. Mai's father was addicted to alcohol and drugs, and every day he would beat her mother. Mai lived in constant fear. Mai remembers one day when she felt happy, one day. On that day, her mother walked her to school. She saw her mother smile once as they walked along the path together, the first time her mother had smiled in a long time. The memory of that smile gave Mai joy throughout the day. But the joy did not last long, for not only was this the first time that her mother walked her to school, but it was also the last time. That day, her mother walked out of the village and kept walking. She was leaving Mai's father, but she left Mai also. Mai lived with her father for the next 3 years. She never once felt cared for or loved by her father. He hit Mai often. She lived in fear of her father and his moods. She never knew when he might beat her again. After 3 years, her father told Mai that she could no longer go to school, that she had to begin working to help with the expenses. Mai ran away that day, found her mother, and went back to live with her mother. Mai's mother could not provide for nine children alone, and Mai and her brother began to help by selling flowers on the street corners, in the markets, and in restaurants. It was dangerous, and they had to hide from the policemen so they would not be arrested. They made enough money, however, that they were able to buy uniforms and supplies so that they could go to school. Mai began going to church with a woman she met while selling flowers. She came to know God. She took her mother to church, and Mai's mother also came to know God and taught Mai that she should always love God first. Mai learned to pray. Mai says that when she prayed, she received a great blessing from God, and that was a new place to live. She was able to move to the house of love. Mai said, the house of love is a better place and a safer place for me to be. Here I have good friends and staff who understand and look after me. God has helped me to grow spiritually. God has used my past experience as a lesson for me. I have now been able to forgive my father. No matter how my father treats me, I can now turn my problems over to God. This is because God can bring blessings out of any problem. I no longer say to God, God, you haven't been fair to me. But instead, I can thank God that these problems have happened to me. I still hurt. I hurt because of what my father has done. But I want to tell everyone that when we have problems that we don't know how to solve, let us remember to pray, and we will see the greatness of God. And if you open your heart, God is ready to help you as he has helped me. Mai has graduated from college now with a major in Japanese. She has had the opportunity to study abroad for a semester in Japan and is now studying English and working towards a master's degree in Australia. Her faith in God remains strong. God saw Mai when she was an abused child living in a remote tribal village and sent her to people who would help her know the love of God. Suti, a child living at the House of Love, and I think you've met Suti, people that have been there. He came to the House of Love because no one else wanted him. He had lived with his mother and her alcoholic boyfriends. They did not want to care for Suti. They became angry and violent when they were drunk, and they would take out their anger on Suti. He had scars to prove it. Other villagers did not want Suti around. He was HIV positive and deaf and severely impaired intellectually. He did not talk. Everyone in the village teased him. He was brought to us after his mother committed suicide. Suti let us know how he was treated at home by acting out his abuse, usually through hurting another child. He would not look at us. He did not try to communicate with us, and it was obvious that no one had ever tried to communicate with him, not ever. His eyes were full of fear. He trusted no one. Suti, at the age of 8, had never been to school, did not know how to hold a pencil or how to kick a ball. What Suti did know was that no one cared for him, and no one wanted him. Suti, however, experienced the love of Jesus through the house parents, the other children, and the student intern at the House of Love. The house parents tried to communicate with him. The children invited him to join their games. The student intern sat with him and showed him that she was interested and concerned. Simple things, But Suti slowly began to trust, slowly began to feel a part of the house of love, and slowly began to change. He was able to go to school, learn sign language, and complete the seventh grade. He has learned to communicate, to laugh, and to play with the other children. He looks for ways to help others. He has a sense of humor. Suti attends a church for the deaf and began to learn about Jesus and his love. Suti has accepted Christ and has asked to be baptized. The pastor at the church says he understands enough. He will baptize him soon. Suti is an evangelist at heart. He asked all the guests that come to visit at the House of Love if they have been baptized yet, and do they know that Jesus died for them? Suti, now 18, has recently gone home to live with his uncle and grandmother. He helps at his uncle's car wash business and is caring towards his two younger cousins. He has learned responsibility, compassion for others, and he knows that Jesus loves him. Suti still has difficulties to overcome and needs our prayers, but God has seen Suti and has begun his miraculous work of healing in his life. Gan was 12 years old when she came to live at the House of Love. When Gan was just 2 years old, her father killed another man and was sent to jail. Gan has not seen her father for over 12 years. After Gan's father was arrested, her mother began working in a karaoke bar. When she was working, she would bring money home to Gan's grandmother so that Gan could go to school and be cared for by her grandmother. But then her mother started using drugs and was arrested and given a 17-year prison term. Gan's grandmother was also a drug addict and very sick with cancer. Gan had to drop out of school to care for her grandmother and her six-year-old cousin, and the boy in front is her cousin. She was given some food for taking care of another small child in the village so that she, her cousin, and her grandmother would have something to eat. To provide for her family, Gan also sometimes worked at a karaoke bar serving food and beer. They wanted her to start serving men. Gan longed to go to school and to be like other children. Gan also had an uncle who lived with Gan's grandmother. When he was drunk, he would become violent. One day he beat Gan's grandmother until she fell and hit her head. She died shortly after arriving at the hospital. It was at that time when Gan was left alone with her young cousin that they came to the House of Love to live. Gan was a quiet girl. She had never heard about Jesus, as there were no Christians in her village. She enjoyed coming to worship at the House of Love. She began to read her Bible and pray every day. She took notes on the sermon when she went to church. She began to memorize Bible verses. She especially liked Bible verses that assured her that God loved her and had a plan for her. She accepted Christ as her Savior and made a public profession of her faith right before I left Thailand to come here. Unfortunately, the night that God made her public confession of her faith in Christ, she died in a tragic accident at the age of 14. That was very difficult for her staff and children at the House of Love and for her mother in jail. But God had seen Gan and brought her into a relationship with Jesus before she died. A friend who had met Gan and had visited many times at the House of Love wrote this letter of encouragement to the children and staff after Gan's death. In the midst of your grieving, I want to encourage you for the role that you played in Gan's life. You took her in and made her feel like family. I know she's only been there for a few years, but I could tell a big difference in her this past year. She seemed much more comfortable and satisfied to have such a good home with so many good friends. Her smile was contagious. Many of you went out of your way to love her. Your willingness to include Gan in your family obviously had a big impact on her. She made a decision for Jesus just a few hours before she got to meet him in person. I don't know why God allowed this accident to happen, and it was an accident. But what is not an accident is that she gave her life to Christ before she died. You helped her see God enough to put her trust in him, and now she's spending an eternity with him. God used you to have an internal impact on Gan. Please rejoice with her in her new home. She has nothing left to do now but be embraced by her real father. Well done, good and faithful servants. Some situations are very difficult, but I believe that God sees through the darkness and can use all of us to make an internal impact on the lives of others. I have seen God at work, even in difficult times. I have seen God's love change lives, and I have seen God's love bring hope. And I have seen how often God uses people, just like you and me, to make his love known to others. For the past 33 years, I have had the privilege of seeing God at work, changing lives in miraculous ways. But one day, and it's been several years ago now, as I was sharing these stories, a young woman asked me, "How do you keep your faith? Don't you ever wonder why God lets such things happen?" My response to her was, "I do sometimes wonder why, but I also know that God was at work in each of these situations. Perhaps the question we should be asking is, where are the people of God? Why do the people of God let such things happen? Why are there so few workers when the harvest is plentiful?" Gary Hagen, the founder of International Justice Mission, says that in the face of overwhelming evil and injustice, we often feel powerless, and that powerlessness paralyzes us and takes away our hope. We wonder, who am I? What do I have to offer? We wonder if we can really make a difference in someone's life. But when we ask those questions, we underestimate God. We underestimate the value of what God has given to us to transform lives. We underestimate the value of helping just one person. And we underestimate God's determination to work through us to share his love with the world. Friends, do not underestimate the gifts that God has given you. Do not underestimate what God wants to do through you and through this church. God's call may take you to dark and difficult places, but I have learned that there is no place too dark that God is not already there. He is there ministering to those in need. He is there waiting for his people, that is for you and me, to come and minister beside him. Christ has called us to see with his eyes, to make his love visible and available in a broken world. My prayer is that we do that in such a way that no one will ever again have to doubt the very existence of God and his love, but that they will know God's love because they have experienced it through us. Thank you.